What a joy it has been to be with you these yesterday and today, and look forward to continuing to worship with you through your conference on Wednesday for Awana Club. And I'm Scott Connor, and that's was good to share with you this morning with in our Sunday school class, and I share what God, the incredible work that God's doing here in Northern Michigan with the gospel. So this morning, I wanted to share with you, too, there's like a little bit of a connection here that Pastor Tim shared with me last night that I kind of, well, I totally didn't even recognize, but really neat connection. So my wife and Tim and Mary Beth, all went to the same college together. But actually, the relationship started before that with Pastor Tim. I was his counselor at Lake Ann Baptist Camp. And it was really unique because he was sharing with me, he's like, yeah, oftentimes the kids or the people were asking who the counselor was because here's Tim with a full, you know, beard or whatever, and I've got this baby face going on. So they were like, now who really is the counselor here? Happy birthday today. Somebody had to do it. Well, it's a joy to be here, and what a privilege to be able to be a part of this conference and to see what God, the incredible things God is doing here, near and far, and look forward to hearing more about what God's going to do in Alaska. And brother, I'll tell you, I'm a little jealous because Alaska is the pilot's heaven here on earth, and I have my private pilot's license, so you're gonna really enjoy your time up there and pray that God uses you in a mighty way to serve and be blessed up there. So, well, good. I want to ask you to turn your Bibles, open your Bibles with me to Judges chapter 6. With the time we have here this afternoon, I pray that this time we spend together will be a blessing this morning, and that your heart would be encouraged. We're going to be in Judges chapter 6, and we serve a jealous God. A God that demands glory unto himself. And whether you're serving here, United States, Togo, Alaska, wherever you're serving, God wants to use you in an incredible way. But why? For his glory. For his glory. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we have been reminded of your kingdom work. God, I pray this morning as it continues, this missions conference, God, as we are challenged with being reminded, God, that you can do incredible things when us as your servants take the steps of faith, believing, God, that you can accomplish those things that may seem unable to be accomplished in our lives. So God, as we open your word and we see one of your servants and we're reminded of the humility and the meekness and how you use that, God, to accomplish incredible things, help us open our hearts and our minds to be receptive to your calling in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to spend some time now. I want to let you know that this narrative we're going to discuss this morning, and I'm sure Pastor could allude to this, this could be a month-long or two-month-long series. So we're going to just kind of dive in and get a taste, but I need you to hold on to your seats because we're going to move, all right? But my prayer is that you come away feeling encouraged and being able to recognize maybe the things that are in your path, in your life, that God's calling you to, and you can believe that he is more than able to do those things and accomplish those things for God's glory. Well, chapter 7 of Judges, chapter 7 and verse 2, this is, I believe, is the key verse in my mind when I think about this narrative of Gideon. Chapter 7, verse 2, and the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into your hand, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. God desires glory to himself. And oftentimes he uses you and he uses me in incredible ways that may not seem in our own minds that we could accomplish these things, but he does these things so that, why? That he can get the glory and not us. I love Gideon. I read Gideon and I go, okay, man, this is me, all right? And let's go ahead and take a look here. We're going to read here in a moment from Judges chapter 6. But maybe today you feel like a nobody. Maybe you say to yourself, I'm too old to be used by God. Or maybe you feel like you don't have gifts or abilities that you think, man, I'm worthless. God has an incredible plan for you and for me. He uses ordinary people to accomplish His will in an extraordinary way. No matter what stage of life you're in, what hindrances that may lay in front of you, how much you lack gifts, abilities, God desires to use you to expand His kingdom. He wants to prove Himself to you today. So today we're going to look at a man named Gideon, who God used in an incredible, extraordinary ways. Throughout the Judges, you see what the cyclical thing happened here, the rise and fall of God's people. The events that led up to this story, find here in chapter 6 of Judges. Israel has been sinning by turning to false gods, and the Lord has given themselves into the hands of the Midianites. The Midianites would attack, and Israel would take their crops and destroy what they did not take. This had been going on for about 7 years when we come to this man named Gideon. Now let's dive into this story here. And again, we're going to be a survey of this. I encourage you this week to take some time and read all of chapter 6 and chapter 7 of Judges. But let's begin here in verse 11. Verse 11 of Judges chapter 6. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Bezerite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all the wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us in the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of the Midianites' hand. Am I not sending you?" "But Lord," Gideon asked, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am in the least of my family." The Lord answered, "It will be with you, or I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." Again, God wants to use us in extraordinary ways. And we're going to look at three things and things that we ought to do and we need to be mindful of as we want to see God accomplish extraordinary things in our lives. The first thing we need to do is to see God accomplish extraordinary things is we need to believe what God says about who you and I are. Got to believe what God says about who you and I are. See, God calls Gideon what? Mighty warrior. A mighty warrior. And you know Gideon, right? He's like, "Now, God, who are you talking to? Are you talking to me? I'm a nobody. Who am I?" God says, "You're a mighty warrior." Brothers and sisters, we have got to understand who God has called us to be. We are His children, made in His image. God desires to use you and to use me for His glory. But oftentimes, if you're like me, the lies, the devil wants to get in there. And for us to believe that we are unable to do much for God. Just like Gideon, who am I? This picture here is Ryan Reynolds, and my wife, it's probably been 6 months now, she said, "Hey, she showed me her phone, could you look like this?" She's here, so I can kind of do this. Or she's not here, I'm sorry. Well, "Could you look like this?" You know, and what she really meant was, you know, could you do a hair? I'm in the military. I'm a reserve chaplain. So I've always had the buzz cut. For our entire marriage, I've had nothing but a buzz cut, haircut. And she's like, "Hey, could you do your hair? You know, I really like, I'll check it out." So what do you guys think? Huh? Kind of got it going a little bit. Little Ryan Reynolds going on. So often, brothers and sisters, we try to be like somebody else. We say, man, if I only had the gift to be able to speak like Pastor Tim, or if I could only sing like so-and-so, or if I could, if we could stay in our lane and focus on who we are and who God made us, and focus forward in what God is calling us to do, and that's different for you than it is for me. He might not be calling you to be a mechanic in Alaska, but brothers and sisters, he may be calling you to something that might be even bigger than anything we could imagine, but God is calling you to take that step and to believe who you are in him. Gideon saying, I can't be used. I'm a nobody, a zero. We oftentimes find ourselves playing that comparison game, which is a dangerous spiral. We also see here that Gideon's in the wine press. And I like this because Gideon, you know, he's sitting there and he's trying to protect himself where he's at. The wine press is like it's built up, and it's a place where it's highly fortified. And I liken to Gideon being in there with his peanut butter jelly sandwiches, right? And he's like, the Midianites are not going to take my peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I'm going to stay in here where it's comfortable. Do we find ourselves doing that sometimes, brothers and sisters? This is comfortable. Maybe God's calling you to take that step of faith. Calling you to something, but we just sit back and say, you know what? No, I'm good where I'm at. See, brothers and sisters, God not only knows who you are, the important thing is that he knows who he is, and you are his child. We must see our situation through God's eyes, who we are through God's eyes. If you've trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, God said you are his child, 1 John 1:12. But as many received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. Jesus also tells us in Matthew 6, verse 26 through 33, look at the birds of the air. Do they not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them? Are you not much more valuable than they? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Listen, in your own eyes and even the eyes of society, you may think you're not useful for God, or you don't have what it takes to use by him, or your circumstances are too impossible. The reality is that God is not dependent on you or I to accomplish anything, but rather he chooses to people like you and like me to accomplish extraordinary things. Why? For his glory. Listen to what Paul writes in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1:26 through 30. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many of you were noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of this world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. Verse 29, so that no one may boast before him. God desires to get the glory. And that's why he will accomplish incredible things through you, so that he can get the glory. Well, Scott, you might say, I do feel like a zero, but I don't even have the faith to believe that God can use me. The first thing we need to see is to see God use us in extraordinary ways is to believe what God says about who you and I are. Secondly, the second thing we need to do is to believe that God is faithful when we are faithless. Gideon had pretty weak faith. There are oftentimes I read this narrative and I go, why did not God strike Gideon down and find another? Gideon, over and over again, right? This is where we get, you know, Gideon asking God, okay, now you need to show yourself again to me after you've already burnt this offering, right? And you sent down fire. And I mean, just over and over and over again, we see Gideon questioning God, right? This is where we get the story of the fleece on the dry ground, right? Okay. Wake up in the morning and the fleece will be wet and the ground will be dry. Well, now God, now wait a second, God. Can you do that one more time for me? Because I still don't believe. My faith is still weak. Now make the ground wet and the fleece dry. And it was so. I believe God, Gideon's faith was even so weak that he couldn't even say it anymore. And that God, and if you want to continue on in reading, you know, in chapter 6 and 7, where we see, you know, God using the Midianite dream, where Gideon went down and he heard this dream from Midianite, and the interpretation was, God is going to get the glory. God is going to give you this army. It was interesting when you read that it wasn't Gideon asking God. God just said, okay, I know you, Gideon. You need another sign. You need to see. You need to hear. I know it's hard for you to believe that you are mighty. I know it's hard for you to believe. Are we not like Gideon oftentimes? Show me yourself, God. Just like Gideon, God has you on a journey, a specific journey of faith, a specific walk, a specific path that he has for you, showing himself to you, God, so that you can accomplish extraordinary things, just like Gideon. Gideon's faith was weak, and he needed so much faith to be encouraged. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. God remains faithful. Amen? Can you look in your walk of your life and look throughout your life, and can you see his faithfulness just brewing? Constantly there. Faithful in spite of ourselves. I know I look back and I see God over and over again stepping in. And what I thought was going to be the direction, when I was 5 years old or 7 years old, I want to be the president of the United States. You know, thank the Lord he was faithful. And he remains faithful. No, over and over and over again, I look and I see his hand of blessing in my life, despite myself, despite my sin, despite what I may think is best. God knows right where Gideon is at. He knows right where you're at. And he's patiently growing your faith, just like he was so patient with Gideon. So the first thing we need to do to see God accomplish extraordinary things is to believe what God says about who you and I are. The second thing is believe that God is faithful when we are faithless. And the third thing we need to learn to take these is to take steps of obedience. To take steps of obedience. Now, I love Gideon because what does he do? He does get out of the wine press, right? He took that first step. Okay, Lord, I'm going to take this step. We also see him taking the step of faith by bringing down his father's altar, Baal, right? He knocks that thing down and he's taking these steps of faith. And he takes these steps of faith believing that God is going to be there, and God is right there all along the way. But the larger steps are coming. And we see this, right? Because we see that Gideon now has got a large army, but not as nearly as large as the Midianites. The Midianites have 132,000 mighty warriors, you know, strong warriors with all of the gear and all the outfits and everything that you would have to go into battle. It made sense. And Gideon and his army, right? What do they have? And how many are there? Well, we started off with 35,000. Now, 35,000 to 135 or 132 is still not good odds now, is it? No? I mean, does that sound like you want to go into battle with 135 against 132? I mean, that just doesn't make any sense. God knows. And he knows so much more that he says, you know what? Your army is still your army is too big, so we send everybody home that doesn't want to fight. So we start 35,000 down to 10,000. I mean, that's a lot of people that are like, I don't want to do this, right? So now we have 10,000. Gideon has 10,000 warriors going into battle against 135 of the Midianites. And God says, your army is still too great for me to get the glory. So what does he do? Go down to the river, and those who lap up in this way, and I mean, it didn't make any sense in my mind why that, you know, again, does it make any sense to us? No, but God understands who is going to be left. And who is left? We have 300. Now, does this make any sense? 300 against 135,000. Brothers and sisters, it may not make sense in our eyes. It may be like impossible in our minds. But God knows. God understands. He is ready to win that battle, whatever that is in your life, for his glory. So I need some help. I'm in kids' men here, okay? So I'm going to need three Midianite soldiers, all right? This is going to represent, oh, you got one, all right? Two, come on up. You're strong. Come on up, buddy. Okay, so these are our soldiers, all right? We're going to actually act out this war. We're going to do battle here at church. Can we do this? This is going to be, can we do this? Okay, I got permission from Pastor Tim. We're going to do this. So now I need, what do the Midianites have? They have swords, right? Would that make sense? So they've got swords. These guys are like, sweet. Now hold on here. I just want to let you, we're not going to battle yet, okay? All right, we also have this. Let's see, we got another sword here. And we've got a couple of, you know, they got some shields and some, you know, weaponry stuff. Okay, we're going to do this. Can I put this on you? All right, here we go. All right. Now, don't they look like warriors? Yeah, okay. No. All right. Now, I also need three Israelites or three warriors for Gideon, okay? Okay, we have one over there. Come on up. Two more. Oh, here we got two right over here. Okay, come on up, pastor's kids. All right, good. Come on up. Now you go into battle, and it makes sense to have swords, and it makes sense to have armor, right? But God says, you know, you're going to go into battle with a flashlight. Well, that's what happened. All right, so go ahead and take a flashlight here. Okay, take a flashlight. And you know what? I need you guys to, you're going to be our trumpeter, okay? Okay, because all the Midianites, or all of God's people, the Israelites, had when they went into battle were trumpets, all right? Were lamps that were and covered with a jar, if you will, okay? And they went in battle, but then what they also said, and you guys got to help me with this, and I'm going to ask the congregation, for the sword and the Lord of Gideon, for the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Can we do that? Okay, because what they were going to do is go into battle. Let's try this, because you got to be strong about it, okay? You're going to say this really loud. Can we do this all together? For the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Now, you guys shouldn't say that, because you guys, anyways. So now we have our 300 Israelites, okay? Now, I need you guys to camp out. You're going to be over here. You guys are going to be over here. How about you come up? We got to spread you guys out, okay? So come on over here. All right, you can stay there. Oh, that's fine. Okay, now you guys come on over here and take a nap, all right? Go ahead and take a nap. But careful, bud. All right. So we're going to enact this battle, this epic battle between God's people and the Midianites. Now, the Midianites are how many? 135,000, okay, that are, or 132. I'm getting mixed up. 132,000 that are sitting here sleeping and camped, okay? Now, it's nighttime, all right? It's nighttime, and what God says is, okay, what you're going to do is you're gonna light your torches, you're going to scream really loud, and you're going to blow your trumpets. Can you do a fake trumpet? Can you do that? Okay, well.
I'll do the trumpet.
You do a trumpet? Oh, okay. Well, thanks for sharing your light. That's great. And then you're going to shine your light really loud, and you're going to blow your trumpets, and then all of the 300 of us are going to say, for the sword of the Lord of Gideon, okay? And then we're going to enact this. You guys ready for this? How loud are we going to say it? You got to say it real loud, all right? On the count of three. One, two, three. For the sword of the Lord of Gideon. Wake up, kids. Now, what do you guys do is you don't fight them. You fight each other. You fight each other. She lost her helmet. Okay, guys. Before this gets out of hand. Good job. Yeah, you're glad you have the helmet. All right, that was fun. Good job, guys. Good job. Thank you. Thank you so much. Oh, they loved that. When do you get to fight in church, right? We spend too much time worrying about if God's plan is the plan, and we get so caught up in worrying and focusing on, you know, okay, this is impossible, God. Because in our eyes, it doesn't make any sense. 135,000 against 300, does that make any sense? But to God, it makes all the sense. Brothers and sisters, He may be calling you to Africa, but He also may be calling you to Nuevo. And it may seem impossible to walk next door to your neighbor and to share the love of Jesus. And it may be impossible in your mind to share with your uncle or your loved one that's Jehovah's Witness. And it may seem impossible, whatever that thing is going on in your mind right now that God's calling you to, it may seem impossible, but with God, it is possible. Amen? I believe the church for quite some time has been sitting on the sidelines. Been sitting in our chairs, in our couches, watching TV. The church needs to wake up. The church needs to wake up and understand our responsibility to share the glory of God, to share the love that He has given each and every one of us that was so clearly demonstrated on the cross, where God sent His Son to die for you and to die for me. We hold such a precious gift. We hold hope that this world that is dying in need of it, we've got to not hold on to it. We need to get out there and share it. And it may seem impossible. And it may seem unpopular. But it's what we're called to do. Now more than ever, brothers and sisters, now more than ever, we've got to share the hope of Jesus. So whatever God is calling you to, I want to encourage you today to be praying about that. Today, tomorrow, through this conference, through this next week. Pray as long as you need to pray to continue to ask God to give you that boldness, to take that step of faith like Gideon, to get out of that wine press, to take those stands, to take those moments where you understand, okay, God, I cannot do this on my own, but I need You to accomplish this through my life, not for me, but for Your glory. Brothers and sisters, we've got to believe. We've got to believe that our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Do you believe it? I know from my journey with raising support, at first I didn't believe it. I was like, no, God. My wife and I were in agreement on that one. We're like, we can't raise this. This is like a mountain. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. This is never going to happen. And we ran for it for a period of time. No. But then God got a hold of our heart. No, You're going to do this. And I'm going to be faithful all along the way. And amen. Brothers and sisters, He was faithful. In those moments where I was wondering how this is going to happen, it would be in those moments and that I would be so discouraged, and yet I'd get that phone call. Hey, we want to partner with you. Somebody I don't even know. Praise the Lord. God is faithful. But I found myself needing to pray to God and saying, God, I believe that You are more than able to raise our support for the mission field. And I want to encourage you to speak it, to speak it. God, I believe, and sometimes I, even myself, I'm a little sheepish in this area. Do I believe? Boy, it seems impossible. But God, I believe. So can we together on a count of three think of the thing that maybe God's calling you to, and that may be reaching out to your neighbor, that might be participating in short-term missions, that he might be calling you to Africa, and it doesn't make any sense, right? It doesn't make any sense. But say today that I believe. And we're going to do it on the count of three. I'm going to say, let's say together, I believe. And what you're saying is that you believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. And let's say this together, okay? One, two, three. I believe. Well, those kids, they really believe. That's great. Well, I want to just close our time in prayer, but I want to just encourage you to be listening to the Holy Spirit in your life, sharing with you what he's calling you to do, whatever that may be. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this weekend of missions, God, and it doesn't just happen now, God. It's all around it's always, and God, so I just pray that you would help us to be mindful of your mission that you've called of each and every one of us to truly go out and share the wonderful gift that you've given us, Lord. And God, help us to have the mind of Gideon, one who is found in the hall of faith, and yet the end of his story is not pretty. He still falls for the idols, Baal, and yet, God, you still look at him as one that is faithful. God, may we have that kind of faith, believing that you can accomplish great things through your hand. God, help us. We thank you for this opportunity to come together and to be mindful of the work that you're doing around the world and even here. We pray this believing. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.